This time I'm going to introduce to you our speaker for today, who needs no introduction, really. It's Pastor Giovanni from the Hispanic Christian Community Church.
Thank you, thank you. How's everybody doing today? Good. Before I start, I want to recognize the amazing work that the worship team does every morning. You know, you might think it's just a bunch of people, you know, but it takes time and practice, and halfway through the week, we send out the songs and the keys and the chords, and it's easy just to come in and enjoy a good worship music and voices, but all of that takes time, and I just want to recognize the people that week after week, make that possible. And it goes without saying that also includes the people on the PowerPoint, this guy over here and that guy over there, you know. We can have the best musicians and the best voices in the church, but if those two guys don't do the magic that they do, then you wouldn't be able to enjoy a good presence of God. Amen. So thank you for Enrico and leading that department very, very well. Amen? Amen. So I'm supposed to do my own PowerPoint, but sometimes I get moving. I think it's the Latino way of preaching. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I forget. If I forget, I have asked the sound people to do my PowerPoints for me, okay? So the message, the title of my message this morning is called The Passion of Christ. And that passion was the cross. And in fact, churches, Christian evangelical churches all around the world, we take a moment to remember the greatest act of love and justice ever done in human history. And that is Easter. And Palm Sunday is the day we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem 1 week before his resurrection. And as we meditate, as we start this holy week, singing Hosanna and preparing our hearts and minds, you know, I was thinking about this, and we have often, in some Christian circles, in some Christian churches, we have lost the meaning of what Easter really means. And I come from a very religious, rooted country, Nicaragua, Central America, and in Nicaragua, and I've heard it's pretty much the same thing all over Latin America. But in Nicaragua, this Holy Week is nothing but holy. It's everything but holy. And so the government, you know, gives a week off work, a week off school, so that people can take a moment and remember what Christ did for us on the cross. But instead, I'm referring to Nicaragua, Latin America, but I've seen it here in Canada, in North America as well. We have lost the meaning of Easter. And just like we do in Christmas time, when we focus our eyes on the tree and the lights and the gift and the presents, and we focus our eyes on that old guy with the long beard dressed in red, the same happens in Easter, my friends. We made our focus on a little animal seeking and looking for eggs, and that is not Easter. We have lost the meaning of Easter. And today we start Palm Sunday, the day where Jesus enters the city, and the same people that shouted, Hosanna, 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 is precisely the same people that shouted, crucify him, crucify him. Isn't that amazing? We've lost the meaning of Easter. We've lost the meaning of Holy Week. In Nicaragua, we call it Holy Week, Semana Santa. But for Jesus' entire mission was centered on the cross, my friends. not on the palms, not on the shouting, because he knew those very same people were going to betray him. Wasn't on the palms, wasn't on the shouting of the people. Was centered on the cross. His passion and mission was to save people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. His mission, his passion was to seek and to save the lost, of which I was one of them, of which you were one of them once. And that's his mission. That's really the focus of Easter, my friends. Jesus knew that the only way to accomplish his mission was through the cross and the shedding of his blood. Romans 3:25, Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:20, 1 Peter 1:18 to 19, and similar verses. You know, Jesus could have easily snapped his fingers to make the redemption of our sins that easy, just going like this. He could have easily sent one of his angels and one of the guardians in heaven and do what he had to be done. But no, Jesus chose to come to us, my friend. Jesus chose to come to us. And that right there is the uniqueness of the Christian faith. What makes the Christian faith unique and it sets it apart from all other religions of the world is that God came to me. God, Christ took my place on the cross and took the place for you as well. I didn't have to die on the cross. I didn't have to climb the mountain. I didn't have to reach out to heaven and please him, try to please him. No, the Christian faith tells me that Christ came to me. And it starts on Christmas. He came to us as a baby in a manger. And I don't know if you remember the message in the manger, but the manger is a dirty, disgusting place. The cross is where the criminals died. And that's precisely the place that Jesus Christ took upon himself for your sins and my sins. The penalty that I deserved, he took it upon himself. I remind myself of that song, beautiful song, it's called Amazing Grace. You remember that song? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that you, my King, will die for me. Amazing Grace. What other God will do that for his enemies? What other religion in the world will do that? Jesus Christ did it for us, my friends. And that is precisely the message of Easter. Amen? That's precisely the central message of Easter. That's the central message of the Christian faith, the cross. It's the cross. The cross was also the passion of Christ, like I said. That was the main goal. That was his ultimate objective. That's the mission as to why he came to earth. To die on the cross for our sins. And not only that, but the cross was also essential to the apostles. Look at what 1 Corinthians 2:2 says. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Galatians 6:14 says, may I never boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. My friend, Easter, the Holy Week, our Christian faith is centered and anchored on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And if we're going to celebrate something this week, it's not about a rabbit looking for eggs. It's not about the palms shouting people. It's about what Christ did on the cross. And even though our eyes are looking forward to Friday, Sunday is coming. Amen? Sunday is coming. And my friend, if the cross was central, it was the central message of Jesus Christ, and it was the central mass message of the apostles, the message of the cross should always be the message of the church. And sometimes in some circles, Christian circles, the message of the cross is lost. We don't preach about the cross often. We like to preach about the prosperity gospel. Amen? Let me find my notes here. Yes. The message of the cross should always be the message of the church. My friend, there's no Christian faith without the cross. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ must be centered, must be anchored in the message of the cross. There is no salvation. There is no forgiveness without the cross. We like, you know, oftentimes we start preaching about philosophies and ideas and ideals and the prosperity gospel and this and that. And no, the message of the church must be always the cross. I'll ask you a question. If I were to invite you to a concert, and I'm serious about this question. If I said to you, Enrico, I'll take you to classical music. Well, he doesn't like classical music. Let's do Latin jazz. He likes Latin jazz. Enrico, I'm going to take you to a Latin jazz concert. What do you think he will expect to hear at that concert? Latin jazz, right? If I said to you, I'll bring you to a rock concert, what are you looking forward to hear in that concert? Rock music. If I were to say to you, I'll invite you to a Christian church, where are you expect to hear in that church? The message of the gospel, the good news that Christ came to us, that Christ took my place, that I don't deserve it. It is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But oftentimes we're not preaching the cross. We preach the prosperity gospel. We preach the feel-good gospel. We preach the three steps, the five steps to have a better life, a better marriage, a better family. Whereas the message of the church must be the cross. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ at the cross. That must be the message of the church. Amen? You agree with me?
Amen.
Amen. Now, why? Why is that? Why do we have to preach the cross? Well, the message of the cross has the power to transform our relationship with God. You know, you and I have broken God's moral law. There is something between God and us, and that is called sin and shame. And Christ in Philippians 2:6-8 says that Jesus, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's the length, my friend, that God had to go for you and I to redeem our relationship, to reconnect our relationship with God. The message of the cross reconnects us to God, has the power to transform our relationship with God. The message of the cross does not end in Christ's death. It does not. It doesn't end in Christ's death. The celebration that starts on Palm Sunday, even though we aim at Friday, we know that Sunday is coming. The message of the cross does not end in Christ's death, but in his resurrection. Amen. Can I get an amen to that? No, we don't preach a God who is crucified and is dead. No, the churches, we have an empty cross. Because our God is alive, my friend. Our God is alive. And because he is alive, we can also be alive. And we can have the strength to face tomorrow, regardless the circumstances that we might face. Because our God is alive. Our God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive, my friend. 1 Corinthians 15:14-20 says, And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so it will be your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is garbage, futile. You are still in your sins. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen? And that's the message we preach. That's the message we preach. And the saddest thing is that sometimes, you know, when we preach the message of the cross, to some people, it's an offense. To some people, it's an offense to hear the gospel preached, the gospel of the cross. Look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 24 says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has no God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Jewish demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jewish and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Isn't that amazing, my friends? Isn't that amazing? That for some people is foolishness. They make a joke over it. They focus their eyes on some other things that they should not focus their eyes on. But for you and I who have been awakened from our transgressions and our past, we can celebrate that Jesus is alive, that Jesus died for in our place, that he took our place. And that now I can live without guilt and without shame, knowing that my sins have been washed away. That I'm a new creation. Now, why do you think the message of the cross is an offense? Foolishness, a stumbling block? Well, my friend, the cross is the condemnation of the world. The cross tells you and tells me that we are sinners. We do not like it when we are confronted with truth. I don't like it. I don't like it when they tell me I need to change. Do you like when they tell you to change something? When your spouse tells you to do something? Do you like it? No, we don't like it. And that's precisely the message of the cross. Looking at the cross, it tells me that I am a sinner, that I deserve to be in that place. Because I've broken God's moral law. I've offended God, and I deserve that place. And so when the cross is presented to me, it tells me that I need someone. I need something in my life. It tells me that I am a sinner. Romans 3:28-23 says, "For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The message of the cross tells us, my friend, that we're sinners, that we need forgiveness. The message of the cross offends our accomplishments. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. No, by works, so that no one can boast." You know, they have them 2,000 years ago, and we still have them today. The Pharisees. Have you seen any Pharisees lately? These are people that think and believe that they've made it on their own. In Spanish, we call them people with bird chest. They work around like this. Yeah, look at me. I made it. Oh, I've been coming to this church for 60 years and I've made it. Oh, yeah, you know, I give my offerings and my tithes and go to church and I do this and I do that. No, my friend, it is by grace that you are saved. Not by works. My friend, if you're standing in your faith, if you're still loving God and serving God, it's not because of what you've done. It's because of the Holy Spirit living in your heart that allows you to do that. The only thing that I can add to my own salvation, you know what was the only thing that I can add to my own salvation? It's not my accomplishments. It's not how long I've been a Christian. It's not how long I lead worship here or how many churches I attend. No, the only thing that I can add to my salvation is that I am a sinner. And so are you. Saved by grace, my friend. It is saved by grace. And my prayer is that I'll never forget that. That is saved by grace. And when I look at the cross and I hear the preaching of the gospel of the cross, it tells me that not only am I a sinner and I need a savior, it tells me that it's by grace. There's nothing in this world that I can do to be saved. It must be by grace, given freely to those who are willing to receive it. My friend, it is by grace, in spite of who you are, in spite of your past, in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your shortcomings. It is by grace that I need a Savior. When we place our faith in the works, the redemptive work of the cross, I put my faith in the redemptive work of the cross. I receive that by grace, not because I'm Giovanni and blah, 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 and da, 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 and I've done this and I've done that. No, it's because of what he did for me. All the religions of the world, all the gods of this world, you know, you have to climb. You're always trying and trying and trying, and you lose your hope and you lose your peace and you go into this desperation because you cannot do it in your own. You know, again, I come from Nicaragua, a very rooted religious country, and I've seen it with my own eyes. People walking on their knees to the cathedral, to the Central Park, beating up themselves with a rope or with a stick in their backs. And my shame. My friends, the message of the Christian faith is that Christ did all of that for us. Amen. That Christ did that. Christ walked up the hill. Christ chose to die on the cross for my sins and for your sins, in spite of who you are. And when we receive that by grace, when we place our hope and our faith in what he did for us, my friend, we can have eternal life. We can have our sins washed away. Our shame is gone. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. But it means that every time I fall, I can be left stand up and keep going. Every time I commit sin, I have someone to go to that can forgive me, that can restore me, that can lift me up and continue on. And so the cross offends my accomplishments because I have nothing to offer. It's only by grace and grace alone. And number three, the cross demands an imperative way of life. The cross demands an imperative way of life. You know, oftentimes we preach grace, grace. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do and it doesn't matter where you're done. Grace, grace, love, 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 love. And that's true, you know. The Christian faith is about love because God is love. But it also demands a change in our lives. It demands a 180 change degree in the path that we continue in our lives. Luke 9:23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Either we serve God, or we serve our earthly possessions. We never just stand at the crossroad. We must make a decision. And when I see the cross, and when I hear the preaching of the cross and the good news of the gospel of Christ, not only the cross tells me that I am a sinner and I need forgiveness, it also tells me that I have nothing to offer to that forgiveness. But at the same time, it demands a decision. It demands an imperative way of life. And that way of life is the cross. Daily. It's a daily surrendering. It's a daily laying down my own desires and my own goals and my own plans at the cross and letting God be the Lord and Savior of my life. And every day I must make that decision. It's not one time save always. No, every day I lay down my life. Jesus, what is it that you want me to do? Jesus, what are the things that I shouldn't be doing, and what are the things that I ought to be doing? And that message is also for churches. What is the message that we're preaching? Is it the feel good, or is it the cross? Is it the five steps to do this, that, and that? Or is the good news of the gospel? Is it the cross? And my friend, we must make a stand for our Christian values. You take a stand on your Christian values daily, my friends. Because at the cross, I can see that I need a Savior. I can see that it is by grace. I could not accomplish it on my own. I got nothing to offer. The only thing that I offer, that I am able to offer, is that I am a ragged sinner. And so are you, and so are you. But we have been saved by grace when you and I place our faith in Christ and the cross. Amen? I'd like you to stand for a moment, if you're able. And like I said at the beginning, you know, Palm Sunday is the first Sunday of the first day of the Holy Week. Friday's coming, the death of Christ is coming, but Sunday is also coming, my friend. Jesus knew that the same people that were shouting Hosanna, praising, hallelujah, were the same people that shouted crucify him. And Friday is coming. The darkness of Friday is coming. But we also fix our eyes on the Sunday, next Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead. And my friend, that's the anchor of our faith.
Amen.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you, Father, for the sacrifice you took for ourselves. Thank you, Father, that you came to us. You came to me and to my place. Thank you, Father, that, Lord God, even though Friday is coming, we know that Sunday is also coming. And, Father, thank you that we don't worship a dead, crucified person, Lord. We worship and we believe and we place our hope and faith in a living God, Father. Jesus, Father God, as we prepare our hearts this week, Father, let us remember that, Father, that because you live and because you're alive, Lord, we can also live. We can also face tomorrow, Father, in spite of what might come. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for peace on people's hearts this morning. Some of us are facing sickness. Some of us are facing trials of all kinds of things, Lord. Finances, Lord, physical health, relationship, Father. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you will mend those things, Lord, that you will be the I am in every situation that we're facing, Lord. Father God, I pray that even though Friday is here, Sunday is also coming soon. And Father God, we pray, Lord, that every family, every need, every heart, Lord, in this place will be impacted, will be encountered by the living God. In Jesus' name I pray, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.